From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, February 5th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
Two more Mainers with COVID-19 have died, and the state CDC today is reporting 265 new cases. The positivity rate has declined over the past week from 3.6% to 2.9%. More than 130,000 people have received a first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. That's just under 10% of the population. The state is still vaccinating healthcare personnel and others in Phase 1A of the rollout, as well as adults 70 and older who are in 1B. Officials say they expect to move to people 65 and older by March. Kyle Fitzsimons, the Lebanon, Maine resident arrested yesterday for his alleged role in the Capitol Hill riots last month, made his first appearance before a federal judge this afternoon. In a video conference, federal magistrate John Rich enumerated the charges against Fitzsimons as well as his rights. In an orange prison shirt and with a white surgical mask dangling from one ear, the bearded Fitzsimons thanked the judge for graciously assigning him a federal defender, Bangor attorney James Nixon. Federal prosecutor Craig Wolf told the judge the government would seek to detain Fitzsimons while his case is adjudicated. Fitzsimons will seek bail, and a bail hearing is now set for next Thursday. He faces four charges, including allegedly assaulting a federal officer as a crowd of rioters rushed a police line under a Capitol building archway. That felony charge carries a maximum sentence of 8 years. He's being held at the Cumberland County Jail. The case may ultimately be transferred to federal court in Washington, D.C. Portland police also said late this afternoon that they believe Fitzsimons is the person who placed a suspicious package outside the Portland Museum of Art last month. Lieutenant Robert Martin says the department's turned the facts of that case over to the state district attorney, but no charges have been filed. Lawyers representing three Maine families challenging a state law prohibiting public tuition funds from going to religious schools are now appealing their case to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Virginia-based Libertarian Institute for Justice submitted a petition to the court yesterday. At issue is Maine's town tuitioning program, which allows state tuition payments for students in towns without their own high schools to be used at nearby public or private schools, but not religious schools. The case was rejected by a federal appeals court last year. But Institute for Justice attorney Michael Bindis says the case was given renewed hope after the Supreme Court ruled last year that a tax credit program in Montana could be used for religious schools.
And so in light of that recent precedent from the Supreme Court, we're very hopeful that the court will take this case and strike down Maine's sectarian exclusion.
The Institute has filed similar challenges in New Hampshire and Vermont. In a statement, Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry says that if the Supreme Court takes up the case, quote, we will vigorously defend Maine's program that ensures a free public education is available to all Maine children. An independent investigation into a COVID-19 outbreak at the York County Jail in August finds that multiple factors coalesced to make the jail vulnerable to rapid transition of the virus. But the evidence suggests that the primary cause was the jail's failure to implement best practices recommended by the CDC. The outbreak that began on August 19th resulted in 48 prisoners, 43 staff, and 16 household contacts testing positive for the virus. The outbreak lasted for several weeks and forced York County Sheriff William King to declare a state of emergency. It also forced the jail to scramble and, with the CDC's help, rapidly implement COVID-19 mitigation strategies that had been rejected for months. In a nearly 40-page report, the investigator details in chronological order how jail administrators and the sheriff were advised by the Maine Department of Corrections, the CDC, and through the governor's executive orders to require employees and prisoners to wear masks, practice social distancing, conduct health screenings for workers, and ask them to stay home when exhibiting symptoms. Instead, in a May 21st email to the York County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff King stated that since corrections officers work in a closed system and wearing a mask is not feasible for them, they will not be required to wear cloth face coverings. So, when a corrections officer returned to work from the now infamous Millinocket wedding linked to 8 deaths and more than 270 cases of COVID-19, the report concludes that conditions were ripe for the virus to enter the jail and spread. To complicate matters, the officer apparently did not believe the virus posed a public health threat and worked at least 10 shifts while exhibiting symptoms. In a press release, the York County manager says county commissioners and the sheriff are reviewing the report and have no statements to make at this time. And state officials and advocacy groups have agreed on a plan that could end a court decree, which has governed mental health services for more than three decades in Maine. Mal Leary has more.
The summer of 1988 was hot and humid. Temperatures stayed in the 90s for days at a time. The Augusta Mental Health Institute, which housed hundreds of patients, had no air conditioners. Five patients died from heat exhaustion, sparking a public outcry. The legislature held hearings that were televised. Newspaper editorials blasted state officials, and advocates for patients at Amhigh went to court. In 1990, the state agreed to a consent decree, promising to provide needed mental health services, which is still in effect. Governor Janet Mills says the new plan she has agreed to will allow the state to make good on those promises within 2 years.
This consent decree has gone through five governors, seven attorneys general, three or four courtmasters, and many Superior Court judges throughout the last 31 years. It is time to put it behind us, time to make sure we're doing the right thing for mental health issues in our state.
Under the plan, the state must meet 17 performance standards in four out of six quarters before the parties can ask the court to end the consent decree. In a statement, Courtmaster Dan Wathen says the plan sets forth reasonable and meaningful measures and provides the resources to meet the standards. Mills acknowledges there are still some gaps in the system.
But then getting people back into the community or providing community services for people who haven't gotten into that crisis situation, these are all desperate needs, and we're addressing them as best we can, and this settlement agreement does that.
The State Department of Health and Human Services still has to finish rulemaking before the new plan can be implemented. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And checking in on the weather, tonight we'll see rain and snow ending, up to 2 inches of snow in the mountains, and lows overnight in the high teens to low 20s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and windy, with some snow in the mountains and highs in the mid-20s to high 30s. On Sunday, sunny east in the morning, afternoon and evening, snow moving north with highs in the low 20s to low 30s. And Monday, partly cloudy, windy and cold, with highs in the mid-teens to the high 20s. And that's today's Maine News. You can find more stories online at mainepublic.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.